All right. The final conversation for this morning, we're looking at the Trust Barometer results for 2024. I'm joined by Karina Krera, who's the CEO of Edelman Africa. Karina, good morning to you. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Kathy, and hi to your listeners. Thanks so much for having me.
Nicole Kubanali is the CEO of Mobile Applications Laboratory. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy.
So, Karina, you've been running this Trust Barometer for 24 years. You've been tracking the issue of trust. Firstly, how does one track an issue like trust? How do you measure what trust is?
Thanks, Kathy. Well, we have a very intelligent data and insights team that do this research for us, a proprietary tool and methodology that we use to measure trust in the exact same way every year. And effectively, what we're doing is we're testing the levels of trust in various societies around the world, 28 markets now, to look at their levels of trust across the four main institutions in a society. So that being business, government, NGOs, and the media. And we believe that trust is really built around two key pillars, that being both competence and ethics. And we know that trust is a really important capital that any institution can have with their stakeholders. So if we're able to measure that society is feeling that they trust that an institution has both the competence and the ethics to deliver and to do their job in society, we know there'll be better all-around results for society for the future.
And just more broadly, is that an accepted analogy and understanding of what trust is, Karina, or do you have to explain this to the respondents?
So we really do design the questions around a particular methodology of trust that we use as Edelman. So as I said, it is a proprietary tool for us. But effectively, what we're asking respondents is how much do they trust that institution to do the right thing? So it's really a sort of general understanding. The way that we interpret the results becomes a little bit more academic, but the way that we ask the questions is really, do you believe that this institution or this particular media channel or this particular way that a particular initiative is being run is in the best interest of doing the right thing. And that's the departure point for people, is how likely are they to feel that level of trust in their relationship with that particular institution.
Nicole, why is it important for us to look at levels of trust? And interestingly enough, you know, this is something that we hear spoken quite a lot about. People express a view that they don't trust government, they don't trust the media, they don't trust, you know, whether some multinational corporations. So the issue of trust is one that comes up quite often in our public discourse.
Thanks, Kathy. You know, when we think about the challenges that we're experiencing in our country, you know, from youth unemployment, poverty, inequality, and we think about what is it actually going to drive us forward? What's going to help us emerge from these challenges? I mean, one of the key drivers is innovation. And I think a key to ensuring that we innovate, that we produce new technologies, that we produce solutions that can address these challenges is collaboration. And I think trust underpins collaboration. We have to work together as government, as the private sector, as citizens, in order to emerge from the crisis we're currently experiencing. And really, trust is what underpins that.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, then Karina will run us through some of the findings of their latest Trust Barometer.
The Talking Point with Kathy Motlatlana, weekdays 9 a.m. till midday.
We continue the conversation on the Talking Point. We're talking about trust and at least the measures of trust in South Africa based on the SA Trust Barometer 2024 done by Edelman Africa. So, Karina, I want you then to run us through some of the findings of the barometer for 2024. What is it saying about the levels of trust that we have, whether it's in government, in business, in the media?
Sure. Thanks, Kathy. So look, I mean, I think just to start with maybe the global findings, and then I can give you a little bit more specific around South Africa, because largely these are shared results across the world. And these findings, I think this year are really profound, particularly against the backdrop of what we're seeing in the world today. So global conflicts, the surge in AI, we have elections going on in 60 plus markets around the world. So innovation really plays a deeply important role. But what we're seeing is a real paradox at the heart of society, where we know that rapid innovation really offers the promise of what we're calling a sort of new era of economic prosperity. But instead of having that kind of net effect on people, all it's doing is it's running the risk of exacerbating trust issues, which further destabilizes society. So really, people are concerned based on the results that we're seeing that innovation is not being managed correctly in society. And that's contributing towards a decline in trust in those who are responsible for steering this change for us, which would be those four institutions. The key takeout really is that business is the most trusted institution and remains the most trusted institution for the last 3 years now. And it outpaces others on competence and ethics, which I mentioned were the two pillars of trust. For South Africa specifically, we see again business as the most trusted institution, and we've seen the surge in demand for a business-government partnership on innovation. This is really important to our respondents. 61% of them believe that that partnership between these two institutions particularly can lead to more trustworthy management of emerging technologies and societal changes. Further to that is the idea that out of business, obviously then comes this immense responsibility, being so trusted, is what do they do with that trust? So for us, the research is also telling us that CEOs as business leaders need to really take a stand on the societal issues that Nikki mentioned earlier as well. So really talking about what are the ethical concerns related to things like technologies, automation, job skills in the future. So it's crucial to be thinking about how those advancements are going to impact society in the future. And really, this is going to be about fostering a future where innovation promotes inclusivity and sustainability. And those are kind of the key takeouts of this year's trust.
I was quite fascinated by the title for this report, Karina, which is The Decline of Authority. Why that particular title for this report?
So the theme of this year's report is innovation in peril, and the decline of authority is really what's happening that is putting really this decline and this this perilous feeling around innovation and this levels of distrust in innovation. It's really what we're seeing is people are really not trusting establishment leaders. They're not trusting traditional leaders, as I say, these four institutions in society, to tell them the truth, to be transparent, to manage the introduction of innovation into society. So they're really feeling, when people are feeling like they don't have leadership, they're looking around them going, who can lead me in this? Who's going to tell me the truth? How can I believe that these things are going to be good for me? And they're going to advance my life and my family's life and our society's lives in the future. So really that's what we're seeing. And this innovation being in peril as a result of, as a consequence of this decline in authority, which is that shift away of authority that's now moving to more people, as they describe it, people like me. People want to hear more from their peers than they do from establishment leaders.
Nikki, what this is also doing is that it of course is showing that developing countries also seem to be doing much better when it comes to matters, when it comes to the question of trust.
I was quite interested to see in the Edelman Africa report that, you know, South Africa almost compares with some of the developing countries with regards to some of the statistics. And I think what's really important for us is to remember that if we want to progress as a nation, it's really going to be important for us to look at reports like this, to understand what are our weaknesses, where are the gaps in terms of what we're actually trying to achieve from driving an innovation agenda, And how, as each of the stakeholders that are involved, you know, from the media to government to private sector, how do we introspect, look at those issues and address them? Because as a collective, we're going to have to then rally together in order to actually get ourselves to compete with globally, actually. You know, if we think of how technologies are advancing other countries in terms of the economy, we're going to have to actually rise from this peril that we're in at the moment.
And just touching on the issue of the economy, one of the big things that still seems to be a global concern, Karina, is the fears around people's economic stability, economic fortunes. Those remain the world over.
Absolutely. And interestingly enough, Kathy, we see the developing markets being much more optimistic overall about the future in relation to the developed markets. So the developed markets like the US, Germany, France, UK are feeling very pessimistic about the future overall. So even though we have this optimism, we know the realities are that people are still facing these economic fears every day. And what's compounding those fears around things like job loss, inflation, et cetera, is what we call sort of existential fears around things like climate change, nuclear war, cyber attacks, information and disinformation. And that's really all compounding this feeling for people where they're feeling really anxious and they're not really sure who to believe and who to trust.
We'll continue the conversation in a moment. We're looking at the Alderman SA Trust Barometer 2024 and unpacking some of its findings. I wonder how much of it resonates with you, you know, when you think about just what they're saying, right? That we are seeing declining levels of trust across institutions, whether it's business, NGOs, government, media, but I guess more concerning is that the trends, especially where the media and government are concerned, is that those have been on a downward trend over a couple of years. And so it does point to the fact that there are some serious questions that need to be asked and work that needs to be done to try and rebuild trust in these institutions. It's 11:30, time for the latest news headlines. We'll continue unpacking some of the findings of this research in a moment.
Hashtag SFM Talking Point.
You're listening to The Talking Point. We continue the conversation and we're looking at the Trust Barometer, that is the Edelman Trust Barometer 2024 and what it says about levels of trust. So our guests are Karina Krira, who's the CEO of Edelman Africa, and Nikhili Kubanali, who's the CEO of Mobile Applications Laboratory. So Karina, one of the things that I wanted to just note also coming out of the report is that we seem to have less levels of trust among people with low incomes across these institutions. Why do you think that is the case?
I think that's because those in lower income groups are really feeling it worse than anybody. Mm. So I really think when we look at the societal struggles that we have, when we think about how low income groups are so impacted by things like job loss, mostly by the inflationary increases and the economic pressures that exist around us, among many other challenges that people are struggling with every day. I think those are the least empowered and feel the least empowered to have their voices heard as well as part of that. So for me, it makes sense that the trust levels would be lower based on how they're feeling and how these results would resonate with them.
Nikhili, there seems to also be a level of skepticism recorded in the report around innovation. Yes, we can talk about who people believe can better manage innovation, but just the idea of innovation seems to be also receiving a level of resistance in societies across the world?
You know, I think anything that's new, anything that seems like it's going to cause change, and if I'm not clear of how that is going to affect me, what impact it's going to have in my life, I definitely will have these fears. And, you know, with fear comes resistance to change. And so I think, you know, just I suppose touching on your previous question in terms of lower income groups, et cetera, especially when if I feel like something is being done to me or enforced upon me, if we think of things like artificial intelligence, you know, and new technologies where I have limited understanding of what these are about, how it's going to affect me in my everyday life, I am going to have this fear. I am going to have low trust levels. And so I really think what's important if we want to be driving innovation, if we're going to be looking at those who are going to be impacted by introducing these innovations, it's really important for us to embrace this whole notion of co-creation. How do we ensure that when we are designing these new technologies, when we're introducing it to society, there is this inclusive approach to how we research, develop, diffuse those technologies? Because if citizens are actually brought on board very early on in these processes and projects, new solutions being developed, there is buy-in upfront. There is walking along the journey in how it's developed. Are you including my voice? Are my concerns being heard? And so this whole approach to research and innovation, you know, in the innovation space, we talk about the quadruple helix, where we consider what is academia saying, government, the private sector, but citizens who are ultimately going to be the users of these innovations are going to be impacted by them. How do we really involve all aspects, all voices, different perspectives in order to build these solutions? And so I think if we really embrace this collaborative, inclusive approach, I think there will be lower resistance to adoption and use. And in that way, innovations are able to actually achieve the impact they are intended to do much sooner.
Karina, I want us to then look at the issue of science in society. Because, you know, we are, what, 2 years post the COVID-19 pandemic now, and we know the extent to which science was really scrutinized during the COVID-19 period. And I think there were lots of questions that scientists had to deal with, whether it's around, you know, the research they were conducting, vaccine development, et cetera, and much of it, including the disinformation and the misinformation, still remains in society today. But in this report, you're saying that there is a reset for science in society.
Absolutely. I think there's based on the results that we're seeing, there is an expectation for scientists, those who have the science and are able to articulate it and bring it into society, are the most trusted now to be able to do that. And I think contextually, you're right. We saw how that was put under pressure with COVID and people really weren't sure what to believe at all. But I think now when we talk about, again, that dispersion of authority, because the balance of power has shifted in terms of where people are trusting the establishment leaders to give them the right information, they are definitely now feeling like, I feel like scientists are best positioned to give me this information. I think where the real challenge is that at the same time, people don't necessarily feel that scientists are best equipped to communicate what these new technologies are and what the impact is that they're going to have. And as Nikki mentioned, you know, taking them on the journey. And I think that's the challenge. And I think that's the role then for business and government, who are much more accustomed to engaging, to communicating, to really work alongside the science community and interpret that, if you like, for society.
So when we look at it, the findings of this report, what should these sectors that are represented, what should we be taking out of it, Karina?
Well, really, I think the most important thing is that I think we know in South Africa, for example, there is a lot of work that's happening behind the scenes. We know the right conversations are being had. And it's difficult sometimes to have a priority on that when we're faced with other challenges that are conflicting with those messages. So I think it's really important that in these sectors, even though the sectors themselves are trusted, we have to build some trust capital in the actual technologies in the sector. Interestingly, when we looked at across four different sectors, when we were defining innovation for ourselves in this report, specifically being energy, healthcare, technology, food and beverage, we see that for energy, specifically green energy, although the sector may not be trusted, the energy sector in South Africa may not be trusted, there is a huge amount of trust already in green energy as a concept, as a science, and as an emerging technology that could really add a huge amount of value in people's lives. And I think that makes sense, given some of the energy challenges that we face as a country. For the other three sectors, technology, I think, has got a quite a way to go in terms of really building trust in AI. We've seen the surge in AI in the last year, and people are grappling with it, but there's still a lot of work to be done around regulation, security, frameworks that really help people understand and be comfortable in this new space. And in terms of that healthcare space, as well, as you said, the vaccines were also an interesting point for us as a country. A lot of sectors of society really just didn't feel that they could trust the information that they were getting in the healthcare sector. So that still remains an area for a lot of trust to be built. And then lastly, food and beverage, you know, this idea of genetically modified foods, sustainable sourcing of food. There's a lot of work to be done in those sectors to really build back that trust capital.
Nicolie, what do you think these institutions should be taking out of the research?
Yes. You know, when I came across the trust report, I really needed to go and unpack what does trust mean, you know? And when I looked at it, it was about, I suppose, the aspects that Karina mentioned. It is about the competence. So when I have trust in somebody, I trust that you have the ability to perform. You have the right competence. You have the right qualifications, etc. There's this whole issue of transparency. And so when we look at it from the ethical perspective, I mean, just talking about artificial intelligence, you know, we know that it's people have the fear of it overtaking jobs. There's all these large language models that are being developed, but what biases are being built into that? And then when we look at the issue of reliability in trust, are you going to deliver what you say you're going to deliver? And I think if we really look at trust from these aspects of competence, ethics, transparency, reliability, I think if we address those aspects, then we can actually focus on the issues of overwhelming information in this information age we're now living in. How do we actually simplify that, demystify these issues of, you know, new technologies, green energy, climate change? I think everybody's just feeling really overwhelmed. And if we tackle these, you know, tackle the elephant in the room, one bite at a time, simplify, ensure there's transparency and inclusivity, I think we will definitely then make a dent in terms of improving trust and driving innovation.
Is there a way, Karina, in which you measure the risks associated with doing nothing? So despite what the research might be showing, even including on acceptance around innovation, what happens if industries continue to innovate, leave people behind, people feeling that whatever technology is being brought on is not a technology they understand, is not technology they necessarily find useful for them and the convenience of their lives. What is the risk of that?
Kathy, the risks are quite profound. And I think where we saw from 2020, when we did our trust report right after COVID, and we saw this emergence of a theme around a cycle of distrust that starts to build in society, particularly when there's a significant moment and a significant event like COVID-19 was for all of us. You really start to see the shifts there. And that's where we saw, as I say, the emergence of the cycle of distrust. And a cycle of distrust just starts to take us in a very negative direction if it's not managed. And over time, then what we find then is a polarized society. Last year, our trust barometer research showed us that South Africa was one of the most polarized countries in the world. And if we remain in that space, we're unable to collaborate, we're unable to bring things to the table, and we're unable to find solutions that are going to work for society. And ultimately, people want reassurance from institutions that future prosperity is guaranteed for them. They want to feel that confidence. So that's going to be really important. And that's really what's at stake, is if we continue to see this downward spiral. But I'm optimistic about it. I think there's still a lot of improvement in many areas. We know business has got a good trust capital. And I think there's a lot of pressure now sitting with the private sector, with the partnership, with government, to really bring things to the table and go, right, what do we need to bring forth into society that's really going to put us on the upward trajectory?
All right. Well, let me thank you both for your time and your contribution to this conversation. Karina Krira is the CEO of Edelman Africa, and Nicole Kubanali is the CEO of a Mobile Applications Laboratory. That's where we leave it on the talking point for today. The show back with you again tomorrow between 9 and midday. Up next is the book reading.